Let's talk about the work of missions. First of all, what is it? Well, that should be obvious what missions is, and it probably is for most of us, but I think there are trends in missions today that maybe confuse people about what missions is all about. For instance, some would think it's just meeting people's physical needs. There's a lot of that goes on today in the name of missions. It might be medical work, or building buildings, or summer camps, amen, or drilling wells, or feeding the poor, educating. Now, I'm not saying that any of these things are wrong, and thank God that somebody's doing it, but I think people could get the idea that's missions, going and doing for people who are poor and ignorant and can't do anything themselves. And so, some of these things, the lost people could do that. And so I'm not saying there's anything wrong with these things, but that should not be the focus, just physical work and helping the poor. We've had some of our missionaries that would go out on deputation while they were students, and one of them said one time, that people would ask him, what are you going to do over there? He thought, well, what do you mean? What am I going to do? I'm a missionary. What do missionaries do? And they're thinking, what are you going to build? What are you going to do? And they might have this idea that it's just about doing things for poor people. And, of course, maybe you'll slip the gospel in there if you can and as you do these things. But that's not the work that Jesus commissioned us to do in Matthew chapter 28. You know the verse 19 and 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. That's what it's about. Teaching, communicating, preaching the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So, I've had people tell me, we went on a mission trip to build a building, and this is the way they say it, for those people. And there's just something a little bit wrong with that. If they would say we went there to build a building with those people, that might be better. And sometimes I want to say, why did you do that? Maybe they could have built it without you, or maybe you could have gone and worked with them. But that's the kind of the attitude that some people, even maybe young people, would have. We've got to go and do something. But missions is giving the gospel. What can happen is that you can cause dependency. Right. You can teach people to look to America for their needs instead of to God. There's a lot of that goes on, and there's sometimes organizations in the States will specialize in projects. Not necessarily church building, not necessarily missions as we know it, but they'll go to a certain place and have a project. Now, it might be good, but they're raising a lot of money and they're just one project after another. And sometimes they will go and find a missionary and then entice some of his people with a lot of money and say, we need somebody there to oversee this project, and anyhow, it's not exactly what we think of as missions. Now, I got a letter from a fella the other day. He's a BBTI graduate. He's working down in the Amazon area, and another group, a medical group with BIMI, went down there, and one of the ladies with that group, she's a nurse, and she's She does this all year long. She and this missionary were together at BBTI. And then there was another young girl that just graduated last year. She went on that same trip. And I thought that was kind of neat. And this missionary, he said, "We were able to meet physical needs of hundreds of families, but more importantly, we were able to minister to their spiritual needs. Some of the areas we visited already have churches." They go where there are missionaries, where there are churches, and help those people and get people from the neighborhoods to come. You know, if they can just find out that, hey, we don't eat children. We don't do all these bad things that they say about us. Come and learn about us. And you'd be surprised what they say about Christians in some of these places. So, and he said, in other communities, we were able to plant seeds for future church plants. You see, he's thinking churches. He's thinking of making contacts and going there to start churches, and that's good. So one thing is could confuse people is the idea of just projects, doing things. And like I say, these things aren't wrong. People do have needs, but the main purpose of the missionary is not just to feed the people, but to give them the gospel. Another thing is short-term missions. Now, some people have the idea that, oh, okay, I'll go on a short-term trip, or I make a distinction between a trip and short-term missions. Short-term missions would be 3 months, 6 months, a year. But the thing is, people may get the idea, they'll ask, they've asked us before, oh, how long are you going to be there? Well, if I ask, Brother, yes,
Curry.
I knew your name, if I ask, well, how long are you going to be there? The rest of my life, amen. I mean, that's what every missionary, that's what he plans to do. It may not work out that way, but he's not going just for a short term. But there's so many that do. It's like the Mormons. All the missionaries you see, the Mormon missionaries, they're short-term missions. They're just going to serve a couple of years. Now, they do learn the language. That's good. I mean, I wish they didn't. I wish they couldn't communicate because they don't have a gospel. But the idea is good. But if your attitude is, well, I will give the Lord 3 months. I'll go and, you know, be on the field for 3 months, 6 months, and then I'll come home and, okay, I've done my duty to mission. I'm all done. Now I can get on with my life. I think that's not the right attitude. You know, if you would go and see a field and let God speak to your heart, then you may want to go back, and that's usually what happens. Well, people need the gospel. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, Paul said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." I think I've got it pretty close. It's the gospel. Do you know what the gospel is? I'm surprised so many Christians, you say, what is the gospel? They say, well, God loves us. Well, that's true. That's not the gospel necessarily. Oh, well, you need to be saved. Well, that's true. But what is the gospel? The gospel is that Jesus died in your place. You were so bad that Jesus had to die for you. And he paid the price. It is so difficult for people to understand that Jesus paid it all. That's our message. And of course, he rose from the dead the third day according to the scripture. So You know, missions is giving people the gospel. Paul said, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. He had to preach it. So it's giving the gospel to every creature. That's what Jesus said to do. Now, they not all are going to believe, unfortunately, but all need to have an opportunity to hear that message. And not just hear it, but to understand it. And of course, that's where our ministry focuses, learning languages so that and culture so you can really, really get that message to the people, to their heart. I hope you'll be able to be here Sunday night. We look forward to showing our video and explaining more. But I'm going to be here all week. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to ask. And we appreciate your interest in our ministry. We need to, you know, if it were up to me, I would just send you all to the mission field. Your pastor would have to go out and build another church. But I know that's not God's will for everybody. But, you know, I want to see people get out there. But I also realize that they need to go well prepared. And that's a real need. So everyone should have the opportunity. Now, here's the thing. There's never going to be enough missionaries to preach the gospel to every creature. But I believe God has a different plan. I believe it's found there Matthew chapter 28, and he says, teaching them to observe all things. I believe that's church planting. We establish churches and we teach people, and as Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So we establish the church. We teach them the gospel. We teach them the word of God. We train them to do what we are doing, to be missionaries. And then they can go out, start other churches, reach other areas. One missionary can't do all that. And we're so few as it is. But church planting, I believe, is so very important. So we may call things missions, and they may be good things. Even planting churches in the United States, we say that's church planting missions, and it is. But it doesn't necessarily get the gospel to the heathen where it's never been before. I'm not saying we don't need more. Thank God for everyone who would go out and start a church. There's more needed. But prison ministries. Now that's a wonderful ministry. It's needed, and it's a blessing to those men that are in prison. But it doesn't necessarily get the gospel out there where it's never been. Ministries to the military. I wish there would have been some missions to military back in the old days when I was in the Army. We didn't have any Christian fellowship. There was nothing for Christians. Even the chaplains seemed like a bunch of heathen. But thank God for missionaries to the military. But who are they reaching? They're reaching Americans. And that's good. But what about all the people in those other places? There's ministries that do construction. They go around and build church buildings and help people fix buildings. That's good. Nursing home ministries, many, many ministries. A man graduated last year from BBTI, and he told me, and his wife verified it, they said they were in a mission conference, and there was a missionary there. He had brochures, he had prayer cards, and he was a missionary to Cabela's. You know what Cabela's is? To like Bass Pro Shop. I guess what he would do would be go and teach about hunting and fishing. He would take preachers on hunting trips and stuff. That's probably where he got his support, you know. But he was trying to raise mission support to go to Cabela's and put on seminars and then maybe slip the gospel in there somewhere. Well, I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but you see, all these things compete for men and money. And they're all good, but we need to really see out there and see the need, see the where the need is so great. So missions is God's plan. There was a man from Canada, Oswald Smith. You've probably heard of him. He said that a church that doesn't participate in missions really has forfeited the right to exist. He said, you see, and that's the thing. That's why we are here. This is why Maranatha Baptist Church exists. Not just a place to come and hear the Bible taught. It is that, of course. It's not just a group of people that will evangelize Shelby, North Carolina. Thank God you're doing that. I hope you are, and we need to. But the church is here to reach the world. I think your pastor understands that. And if we would all realize that, Ghana, West Africa is not just his responsibility, it's yours. Now you can help him to evangelize there, but we've got to feel the burden for the world. So the what of missions, it's getting the gospel where it has never been before. The why of missions. Why should someone be a missionary? Well, first of all, it's obedience. Jesus said to evangelize the world. He gave us a commandment. And in the days of William Carey, he was a Baptist, but from England. But his own people, some of them, were very opposed to sending out missionaries. And Carey is saying to the other preachers, what are we going to do about the heathen? And some of them said, well, the Great Commission was given to the apostles and it stopped there. Well, that's ridiculous. It got to England. How did it get there? Well, they were satisfied to have the gospel but not obey the commandment to take it out farther. And of course, William Carey had to battle that thing for years, I guess. There have been people, Baptist people in our country that do not believe in missions. They would oppose the work of missions. It's unbelievable. It's selfish. And yet, there were people like this. Some of the great men, supposedly of years gone by, were of that persuasion. It's like the hard shell Baptists. They, we don't evangelize. If God has elected them, they'll come. And crazy. But so missions is a matter of obedience. Now, someone's going to say missions is for the glory of God. That's true. It is. But you don't glorify God by disobeying. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandment. And God is not glorified when people worship idols. And the Ten Commandments tells us not to bow down to idols. Don't make idols. And that's what people around the world are doing. They can't glorify God because they're worshiping idols. Paul told the Thessalonians that he said, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the true and living God. So God wants people to be free from ignorance and in idolatry. You know, so much of this world is in bondage to spirits. We in America don't understand that. We don't know anything about that, really, except what we read in books, maybe. But spirits control their lives. Everything has to be done to appease the spirits. And so that's the way they look at it. Sickness and death is caused by spirits, not disease or bacteria. And so there's things that are going on that you just would not believe unless you keep up with missionaries in some of these places. But when someone dies, the spirits have to be consulted to find out who is guilty of the sorcery that killed that person, or why that person died, what was done wrong. Maybe they didn't do the right ceremony. And then, of course, you have to have that shaman, that witch doctor that goes between the people and the spirits to find out what the spirits are saying. We had a BBTI graduate. He's spent about 10 or 12 years in Papua New Guinea. And one of the letters he wrote back, he said that he and his church were protecting a woman named Jenny. I remember her name. And she was accused of killing another woman by witchcraft. That's what the spirit said. So the family is going to kill Jenny because supposedly she killed another woman, and probably was somebody she knew. That other woman died from being raped by about 7 men. So Jenny's going to die, and 7 men are going to go free. And the people believe that stuff. It's unbelievable. I wrote to one of our missionaries there in Papua New Guinea, and I asked him about this. They call it Sanguma. And he explained it a little bit, and it's someone who practices black magic or sorcery. And he says it's amazing how many people here believe not just in the dark spiritual world, which is biblically true, but also how many believe that people can actually transform into animals and do evil, or travel out of the body to do evil, even to eat the organs of another person, causing their death. Of course, they only eat them spiritually because the organs are still there. But they call this revenge stuff SARV, sorcery, accusation, related violence. And he sent an article about a grandmother that was being beaten, and the people were trying to kill her because supposedly she had killed somebody else by witchcraft, and some other men from outside came in and rescued the woman, and she died from a result of that. But this kind of thing goes on. It's their life. It's bondage, and it doesn't glorify God. God wants them to be free and to know the truth. The truth will set them free. And God is not glorified when people are ignorant of Christ's sacrifice. The Bible says that God would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That's what missions does. It gives people the knowledge of the truth. And, you know, Jesus is entitled to be preached among all people. He endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. I believe that joy is the salvation of the people he died for. But they can't be saved without knowing him. God is glorified by changed lives. There's a story told, it may not be true, but it's a good story. It doesn't matter. We preachers, we get our stories. But this anthropologist, he was unsaved, probably an atheist, and he's talking to the chief of the tribe, and he's saying, now there's these people called missionaries. And he said, if they ever come around, don't let them in your village. He said, they will try to change your life, and they'll make you do things you don't want to do. So don't let those missionaries into your village. And the old chief was sitting there smiling, and he says, the missionaries have already been here. He said, and lives are changed. Amen. drastically, and the gospel changes lives. Another reason for missions is gratitude. The preacher mentioned all the millions of or billions of people. There are nearly 8 billion people in the world today. Have you ever thought about this? You're saved, right? Isn't that something? Out of all the people in the world, you're saved. Wow. That's a blessing. But it's something we don't want to take for granted. And, you know, there's all of these people, and we could have been born in a place where the gospel is not heard. There's a lot of places. I have a little trifold brochure, and it's got 100 people groups, large people groups, some of them 50 or 60 or 70 million people, and a lot of them in India. They're Hindus and they're Muslims, and some of them are Buddhist, and they're unreached people groups. And I pray and I think, Lord, please send somebody to these people. And I think, you know, I could have been born there. Why was I born here? I think if nothing else, I ought to be thankful. And my gratitude ought to make a missionary out of me. I remember that as a young Christian, and God was dealing with me about missions, and I thought, well, why I'm thankful that I'm saved, but what about those people? And just gratitude. And compassion. Compassion. Why missions? Because of compassion. The people that just do things for poor people, they have compassion. Why don't we have compassion to see people saved? And for them, it must go beyond just pity for the poor. You know, there's places where people have plenty of food, they have education, they have medical help. They don't need any of this stuff. They don't need our used clothing, but they need the gospel, and they need missionaries. We need to look at them as our neighbors, those who Jesus said that we are to love our neighbor as ourself. And if I love my neighbor as myself, I'm going to want to him to have what I have. And the man said, well, Lord, who is my neighbor? And Jesus told him the story of the Good Samaritan. But the hard question is, what about the heathen? Are the heathen really lost? I don't like to think about that. It bothers me. I wish, and maybe some of you are theologians, I wish that you could come and open your Bible and say, Rex, look at right here. Here's an explanation. The heathen aren't really lost. God will find a way for them to go to heaven without the gospel. If you could show me that, I would feel so much better. But I don't find it. I don't see it. I've been reading the Bible for a long time, and I don't think it's there. The Bible says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, where were you going before you got saved? You were on your way to hell, weren't you? Well, they are too. Someone said, when a heathen man dies, he'll say, where am I? Why am I here? Why is it so hot? Why didn't somebody tell me about this place? How long do I have to stay here? And we know the answer. We need to have compassion for those that are without Christ. And then justice. I'll finish with this. Justice. By this I mean it just doesn't seem just. It just doesn't seem fair that we have so much gospel, we have so much Bible, we have so many churches, and those people out there have nothing. When I was in Bible school, back in those days, some of you might be old enough, probably not many of you old enough to remember, way back then. But in our circles, it was build big churches. That's all that we were taught. Build big churches. Our heroes were the pastors of big churches, and that was all. And even back then, I said, well, you know, I wasn't against that, but I thought, what about, I was learning that there are people out there that don't have the Word of God. No, they have no Bible. They have nobody preaching to them. And I said, this isn't right. Why should we have so much? I think this ought to motivate us. It motivated me. And so, why missions? Because we need to obey what Christ said to do. Do you ever hear the word missionary without the word call with it? They just go together, don't they? And I'm not saying it's, they shouldn't. But how often do you hear the missionary command? People will say, well, I'm not called. Well, you're commanded. How about that? Maybe we ought to preach that a little bit more, that we're commanded. And we need to obey Christ. We need to have compassion for the heathen. And we just need to look around and say, well, thank God we got all these churches. I mean, it's a blessing where you get disgruntled here, you'll have somewhere else to go. Amen. I'm just kidding. Don't do that. But that's what some Christians do. And those people have nothing. Well, we there might be some back there on our table. We wrote this article called Where Are the Men? Or no, it was entitled, Here Am I, Lord, Send My Sister. That's what most guys are saying. And in there, there's a little poem. You'll have to get it and read it. But I wrote to this wasn't original with me, and I wrote to the people that produced that magazine many, many years ago that had that, an article like that, and had that poem in it. And I was told by one of the leaders there, said, we don't use that kind of thing anymore. He said, I really wish you wouldn't use that. He said, we don't use the guilt posters. We used to, he said. They'd have posters and they wanted to, you know, make people feel bad about not reaching the heathen. He called it guilt posters. He said, we don't try to make people feel guilty for not giving the gospel out. And I said, I guess the Apostle Paul didn't get the memo. I said, he said, was it 1 Corinthians? Oh, man, I know it. Awake to righteousness and sin not, because some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Sounds like guilt to me. Well, that's not the only reason to be a missionary, but I hope that you will really think about missions. And we've got to get this job done. This is why we're here. And so, Pastor, I'll turn it over to you. Thank you.